Chapter 8. Lexi had to admit she was worried about Nans and the ladies doing something crazy in order to find out about the poker games. She figured she better try to head them off at the pass and get the information herself. And she couldn't think of anyone who would know more about the seedy world of underground high-stakes poker games than her own husband. She took a coconut cream pie home from the bakery. It was Jack's favorite dessert. She hoped that would persuade him to be more talkative about the poker games. She figured a nice home-cooked meal wouldn't hurt either, which was why she'd left work a little early and picked up the fixings for lasagna. Lexi stood in the kitchen, one eye on the clock and the other on the oven, where the lasagna was just now browning. Jack should be home in 10 minutes. The timing was perfect to get the meal to the table just as he walked in the door. Sprinkles watched her with hawk-like eyes as she mixed the salad. "You want a little piece of lettuce?" Sprinkles spun around gleefully. Lexi picked a piece of romaine out of the bowl and handed it to the dog, who sniffed it, swallowed it in one gulp, and then returned to staring up at Lexi. She heard Jack's car pull into the driveway, and her stomach flip-flopped. Even though they'd been married almost a year, Jack still had that effect on her. She poured red wine into 2 wine glasses, then leaned against the counter with 1 glass held out as Jack walked into the room. "Hey now, that's how I like to be greeted." He took the glass and kissed her on the lips, then glanced at the oven. "What's the occasion?" "Oh, nothing." Lexi opened the oven door to a perfect lasagna, the edges just turning golden. "I thought a good meal would be fun."
"Well, you know I always like a good meal."
"You sit. I'll serve." Lexi pushed him toward the table.
"Oh, and I get waited on?"
Jack sipped his wine.
"Doesn't get much better than that."
"Don't worry. You can do the dishes." Lexi slid the lasagna out of the oven and put it on top of the stove to cool while she tossed the salad, then scooped some into matching teak salad bowls. She slid 1 bowl in front of Jack, then took the seat opposite him. "So, how was work?" Lexi speared a cherry tomato and brought it to her lips.
"The usual," Jack replied. "You?"
"Great. I brought home coconut cream pie for dessert." Jack's eyes lit at the mention of his favorite pie.
"Yum. After dessert, we should do some more packing at my house."
Lexi picked through her salad. Jack lived in the house behind her. In fact, they'd met initially when Sprinkles slipped through a gap in the fence and did her business on Jack's shrubs. Shortly after, he'd had to accuse her of murdering her ex-fiancé. But it had all worked out in the end, and now they were one married couple with 2 houses. Lexi had refused to part with the house she'd bought from Nan's. It had too many wonderful childhood memories. So they'd decided to put Jack's house up for sale. But first they'd have to clean it out and get it ready. The house was packed to the brim with stuff. Some of it from the previous owners, who had lived there for over 50 years. It was proving to be a daunting task. Lexi got up and cut the lasagna. She put a large, gooey, cheesy dripping piece on Jack's plate and a smaller one on her own. She sat back down and concentrated on eating, while contemplating how to divert the conversation to high-stakes gambling.
"Did you hear anything more from Norman Shea?"
Jack asked. Lexi had told him about Norman accosting her in the driveway. Jack had offered to talk to him and make sure he didn't bother her again, but Lexi had developed a pang of sympathy for the nerdy Norman and declined. The police visiting him would probably scar him for life. "No, but Nans has been digging into the Regis Bank's death," she ventured. Jack's eyebrows rose, and Lexi took a gulp of wine before continuing. She discovered that Winston had a gambling problem. Seems he might have owed a lot of money to some underground gambling people.
Oh, really?
Jack shoveled another forkful of lasagna in. Nan seems to think that might give him motive to kill Regis now, instead of waiting for him to die. Lexi pushed the lasagna around on her plate. Do you know anything about these poker games? Jack chewed, thinking carefully about his answer.
Well, you know, organized gambling is illegal in this state, but that doesn't stop people from doing it. There are a few gambling rings in the city. They move from place to place, so we can never bust them up. It's all hush-hush and, needless to say, attracts a nasty criminal element. If Winston was involved in those and owed them, well, let's just say he might be in dire need of money for sure.
And do you think that would constitute motive? Lexi asked, while she cleared the dinner dishes and then broke out the pie. Jack shrugged.
Hard to say. Where did Nance get this information anyway? Is it reliable? And for God's sake, please tell me she's not going to try to infiltrate the gambling ring.
Lexi grimaced as she sat down with her pie. That's what I'm afraid of. An old friend that knows Winston told her, and he seems to be pretty reliable. But you know how Nance is. She's apt to do something crazy. So I'm trying to get the information she needs before that happens.
Smart idea.
Jack pointed to the pie with his fork.
This is great pie.
Thanks. You don't happen to have any contacts that could verify if Winston owed money, do you? Lexi ventured. Jack rubbed his hand through his short-cropped dark hair.
Lexi, you know I can't use police contacts for that stuff, even if I did have one, which, unfortunately, I don't.
Lexi scooped up a forkful of whipped topping from her piece of pie and swirled it around in her mouth. I don't suppose you have any idea where I could find out. Jack shrugged.
I'm surprised Nance or one of the ladies doesn't have a contact. Heck, didn't Ruth date a gangster? Maybe they could ask one of Helen's old contacts at the paper. They usually have shady informants. Or maybe someone at the retirement center. Thugs have grandmas too, you know.
Lexi chuckled. Let's hope she can dig someone up. You know she is. She won't rest until she finds out. Jack nodded, and then stood up and took the dishes to the sink. Lexi bent down toward Sprinkles, who had been patiently watching every bite that had gone into her mouth. She held out a tiny piece of pie crust. You want a treat? Sprinkles thumped her tail on the floor before gently taking the piece from Lexi and swallowing it in one gulp.
So, are you ready to tackle some more packing?
Jack put the last dish in the dishwasher. Lexi's eyes slid to the back door, the one she used to cut through the backyards to Jack's. I guess we could finish up packing the rest of the kitchen cabinets.
Yeah, I want to get those boxes to Goodwill this weekend.
Jack led the way through the back door into Lexi's backyard, taking the shortcut through the missing board in the fence into his backyard.
I guess we'll have to fix that fence before we list the house for sale,
Jack said. Lexi's heart tugged as she remembered the excitement of slipping through that hole in the fence on those early nights when she and Jack had first started dating. She had to admit, it had been pretty convenient to have her boyfriend right in the backyard. They'd been able to visit each other easily, and if one forgot their toothbrush, well, it was only a short walk to get it. But now they were married, and she got to have Jack at her house every night. As she followed Jack to his kitchen door, a familiar beige car driving down the street caught her eye, and she stopped in her tracks.
Something wrong? Jack stood at the back door with a key in his hand. No. Lexi kept her eye on the beige car. It drove down Jack's street, then around the corner, then took a left onto Lexi's street. Could it be coincidence that she had seen the car 3 times, and now it was in her own neighborhood? Lexi didn't think so. Jack pushed the door open and started into the kitchen. Lexi held back, peeking throughout the bushes and neighbors' backyards, watching the car's progress. It stopped 2 houses down from hers, on the opposite side of the street, almost as if it were staking out her house. Lexi had a pretty good idea who was behind the wheel. And then she realized how she could kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Lexi peeked into the kitchen. Jack stood at an open cabinet, digging out some coffee mugs. Cardboard boxes lay strewn on the floor. Old newspapers were stacked on the counters. I forgot my gloves at my house. Lexi wore latex food service gloves while packing to keep from getting all the newsprint on her hands. I'll be back in a second.
Okay.
Jack shot over his shoulder as he started wrapping the mugs in newspaper. Lexi tiptoed around to the front of Jack's house, then walked 4 houses down to the Murphys. She turned into their yard, sneaking along the tree line and into the Sullivans' backyard. Hopefully, neither the Murphys nor the Sullivans would look out the window and see her skulking around. The last thing she needed was for someone to call the cops on her. Crossing from the Sullivans' backyard to their front, Lexi came out onto her own street, 1 house down from the beige car. She ducked behind a rhododendron bush, then peered around it, ignoring the furry black and yellow bees that buzzed her. The driver of the car didn't notice her. He sat slouched in the driver's seat, holding a pair of binoculars to his face. The binoculars were trained on Lexi's house. She scurried across the street, ducked behind an azalea, then crab-walked up to the passenger side of the car, keeping her head below the windows so the driver wouldn't be alerted to her approach. When she reached the door, she grabbed the handle, then whipped the door open as fast as she could. "Just what do you think you are doing?" she yelled. A startled Norman Shea whipped his head around to face her, his eyes bulging behind the Coke bottle glasses. He stammered. "You do realize my husband is a police detective?" Lexi stood up, then bent down to look in the car at him. "I could have him arrest you and tell your mother about the toilet incident." Norman blinked, then straightened in his seat.
"The public deserves to know the truth."
"Yeah, but unfortunately, you're on the wrong trail." Lexi slipped into the passenger seat to Norman's obvious dismay. "However, I think I can help you get the truth and a juicy exclusive, too." Norman eyed her suspiciously.
"You're just trying to throw me off track."
"No, listen. I've been looking into this with my grandmother." Norman scrunched up his face.
"Your grandmother?"
"Yes. Perhaps you've heard of the Ladies' Detective Club?"
"No."
"Well, that's my grandma and her friends. They're pretty good. They even help the police sometimes. Anyway, we've stumbled onto something much more interesting than a caterer serving the wrong ice cream." That got his interest.
"Really?"
"Yep. It seems Regis' death might not have just been an accident." Norman's eyes got wider.
"What do you mean?"
"His son, Winston, has some serious gambling debts. He needed money bad."
"But he already has lots of money."
"Not this much money. Even though he makes a big salary, Regis wasn't overly generous with the bank's family fortune. The kind of debt Winston had is the kind that gets you maimed or killed. We're thinking maybe he couldn't wait for the old man to die and tried to help things along. Norman speared her with a skeptical look.
How do you know this?
Let's just say we have our sources. But they need to be verified, and that's where you come in.
I do?
Sure. You must have some sources down at the paper that have street knowledge.
Well, we do have some unsavory characters that I suppose I could tap into.
Great. All you need to do is find out if Winston owed someone money, and if he was being threatened.
And then?
We'll do the rest to try to prove he killed Regis. And you'll get the exclusive on the story. No one else knows about this. Norman chewed his bottom lip.
So, if I help you, you won't tell any other reporters, and you'll keep me in the loop?
Lexi nodded. Yep.
And you won't tell my mom about the toilets?
Nope. Lexi's stomach churned as Norman made up his mind. He tilted his head, then looked out the window and tapped his fingers on the steering wheel. Finally, he shot out his hand toward Lexi for a handshake.
Okay. Deal.